powers will have to be imposed, and a world governing body will be created to enforce them.
Welcome to Tinfoil Hat. We go deep, homeboy. Eric, open your mind. Drink from the fountain of knowledge. There's lizard people everywhere. That's some interdimensional shit. Wake up, Aaron.
This is only the beginning.
There's... You just blew my mind.
Tinfoil hat. Yes, and welcome. Of course. Chaos ensues. Nothing ever goes normal. Welcome to Tinfoil Hat. Join me at, now. He's part of the show. Everybody loves him. Xavier Guerrero.
What's up?
He's XG.
Yeah.
XG in the house. We're going to refer to him for now on as XG. You guys do the research. Thanks for coming in.
Of course.
Everybody seems to love you, so we appreciate it. So the group is growing. I got you. I got LEH helping me with guests. So the team is coming together, all right? It's a diverse team, you Hollywood libertards, okay? I got one of everybody on my fucking show. I'm trying to find a trans that's fucking conservative and into Trump. I'm going to work on all angles on this show. Guys, thanks for tuning in. A lot of amazing things coming up. Tomorrow night, this will be put out on Monday, tomorrow night is Comedy Chaos Live at the Comedy Store. Some people are calling it the Golden State Warriors of comedy. We have Joe Rogan, Brandon Schaub, Brian Callen, Jesse May Peluso, Eddie Bravo, and Theo Von plus myself. It is going to sell out. It's only $20. It is the greatest show in Hollywood, only $20. That's great. And guess what this week is? It's Tinfoil Hat Comedy Night Week. That's right, Philadelphia. We're coming to your town. It is the Tinfoil Hat Comedy Night. Eddie Bravo, myself, live at the Philly Punchline. Go to punchlinephilly.com. Grab those tickets now. Tickets are already selling to that. And then Sunday night, October 14th, we're at the Syracuse Funny Bone, my hometown, 315-607. Come out. Meet Eddie. Meet myself. Meet my mother. Ask her what went wrong. What went wrong? How did such a wonderful person put out two scumbags? Ask that question. One's a conspiracy theorist, dick joke comic. The other one runs black strip clubs. Ask her how that all happened, okay? You can meet her live at the Syracuse Funny Bones. Both of those tickets are moving quickly, all right? And then I'm at the end of the month, I'm at the House of Comedy in Arizona. I'll get a flyer going for that. And then I'm really excited. November 2nd, I am at the Hyenas in Palo, Texas, just outside of Dallas. Myself, all by myself. It's Sam Tripoli versus everybody. Come check that out. Let's get those tickets sold. The more tickets I sell that, the more likely I come to your house. And then we're doing Austin. We're doing Houston for the Tinfoil Hat Comedy Night. Myself, Eddie Bravo. We're going to be at the Secret Group, and that is November 3rd. And then November 4th, Austin, we're coming to you. You soy boy Inferno. We're coming to rock out with our cocks out at the Paramount Theater, Stateside Theater in Austin. All that stuff is available on samtripoli.com. Now, go to the Patreon. I'm doing two things on the Patreon every week, okay? I'm doing audio for the $2 people, and I'm doing a live stream every week. Live stream Q&A with you guys. Only available on the Patreon. That's it. Only available on the Patreon. So if people keep asking me where the mother of all truth bombs are, that's where they are. They're on the Patreon. Go to patreon.com/tinfoilhat. And finally, our good friend, a nice gentleman out of, I think, New Mexico or Utah, one of those places where there's not a lot of stuff to do other than meth, okay? He has started a Tinfoil Hat podcast page on Facebook. Go to Tinfoil Hat. Is it on there? I think it's on the link real quick. That's yeah. Right. Something like that. Go there. Tinfoil Hat Podcast. Put it in. There's like 600 people going to grow that. And that is the business. That's the business at hand. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. And let's get into it. Our returning champion, back for more, put a high score up, and all the people love him. I'm going to get into that episode a little too. He is executive producer, co-owner, the man, the myth, the legend behind No Restrictions Entertainment. I so thoroughly enjoyed him on the last show because, like, we had a conversation in the back in the parking lot after the show that just blew my mind. And I'm like, we gotta get you back in. Please welcome John Paul Rice, everybody.
Hey, Sam.
Thanks for coming on, dude. I'm super excited to have you back
on.
Pleasure
to be back with you. Pleasure to meet you.
Nice, yeah, dude. XG in the house. Let's talk a little more for those who don't remember what your film company is about and what you guys are trying to do.
Yeah, so No Restrictions Entertainment is an independent feature film company here in Hollywood. And we do films. We've done 6 films over the last 10 years, all dealing with different social issues from homelessness, drug addiction, mental health, prostitution, and now human trafficking. And our latest film is A Child's Voice. It's doing really well on Vimeo, and now we're on Amazon. That's very different from the last time.
So yes, congratulations.
So if you're a Prime member and you subscribe to Jeff Bezos' empire, you can see the
film
for free.
It's a weird dance we dance, huh?
Yeah, it is.
It's like, I hate the guy, but I need that platform, and he knows it.
Yeah.
And I'll get into Jeff Bezos, too. This whole $15 raise thing that everybody's celebrating, I think it's all psychops. I think what a great way to make Bernie look like he's like the champion of people.
Yeah.
And even Bezos like, damn you, Bernie. You got us. I'm so happy to help. I'm like, oh, that is so contrived.
Well, it is when you look at what Bloomberg came out with the following day and talked about how they're cutting bonuses and 401k options, stock options for their employees. Plus, the timing of it is perfect because it's right before the Christmas holiday season. And when you have Walmart and Target and others that are only offering $11 or $12 an hour, $15 an hour, they can get as many people as possible into those warehouses that
are
running.
And they're building cages now? Like, they're literally building cages for these people to work in?
Yeah. Yeah. This guy, look, if anybody wants to know who he is, go back to 1999 when they did a profile on him on the mainstream news before he became somebody. He was rising. The company was already worth, I think, its first billion. And they asked him, they said, what do you want out of everyone in your employees? And he says, I want fear and I want them to wake up every day afraid and paranoid.
What kind of energy is that, dude? It's so amazing because this is kind of the theme of what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
Now, I just wanted to tell you that your last episode was amazing. It was a really amazing episode.
What was it about?
Basically, we talked about just the whole child sex trafficking. And then we got into a lot of Trump stuff, which led us to our conversation outside, which we're going to get into is the Federal Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just want to apologize to you because you came on and you kind of were I want to say either the first or second episode that I did without my old host. And the comments on the comments were more about the fact that he wasn't there. And I kind of blasted everybody. I go, it's really sad that you guys are ignoring this amazing episode because it was like one of the best conversations we've had.
There were
on this
people
show.
Who left comments, and I tried to talk to some of them, but there were people who said this is one of your best episodes ever. And
yeah.
I mean, I'm honored to be a part of that. I did see flurry.
I'm still dealing with
still it. Still gets it. They're everywhere.
But I'm fine with it because it means passion. If nobody
you
cared,
have
I'd be a
very
little
passionate group of listeners.
Yeah, we were just also talking. Like, it's like 90% men, but that 10% of women are pretty smoking hot. I got to be honest with you. And if you listen to the Patreon, a bunch of people have sent me some gifts. A gentleman sent me an Echo. My girlfriend ripped the package open, so I couldn't see the name. I got the package. Thank you. Kate, you sent me a nice stitched pinpoint needlepoint. One was a tinfoil hat, we go deep, and the other one is please don't do coke in the bathroom. That will be in my bathroom. So I thank you guys. Again, a big thank you on the Patreon. So as we talked outside, mm-hmm. we were both kind of talking about where Trump and what Trump's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I still, to this day, and I talked about it on the Patreon, and I got a lot of pushback about questioning Trump and where Trump is. I believe you should question all of them all mm-hmm. the time, the power structure and all that stuff. And then you kind of said some pretty incredible stuff about a big arrest that happened. In the Treasury, if I'm correct, there was 30 people.
Yeah, there were 30 people in the Treasury that were arrested for basically crimes of enriching themselves in the billions of dollars. And these are things that are not reported on the news. We've seen mass arrests. I mean, we've talked about human trafficking arrests gone up, you know, tenfold since Trump was in power. The one thing that people had talked about is that pedophilia was the Achilles heel of the elite. And
in what sense? That it was how you could get them, or well, was there one vulnerability? I guess that is what Achilles heel is the vulnerability where they could be taken down, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that if you had evidence to support that somebody had done something wrong to a child, that you wouldn't get unanimous public consent to say that that person, in spite of everything else that they may have done, is deserves to be in jail. Shouldn't have power. So there's a lot. I mean, I listen. Let me make it very clear to your listeners. I listen to a wide variety of individuals, from Chris Hedges and Noam Chomsky,
yeah,
all the way to Cherenovich. And I wouldn't really. Cherenovich really is a centrist in his. I know he's always been associated with the alt-right and the right wing, and he's obviously made some inflammatory statements in the past and things that, look, these are all flawed individuals. They're all like they. This is not to excuse their behavior, but when you start listening to what the MAGA crowd says and you listen to what Hedges says and you actually compare notes and you can actually find similarities, just different expressions or different, I'd say, prescriptions for the same despair.
Right. I mean, right? If you look at like Alex Jones and when, what's his name, Elon Musk,
yeah,
were on Joe Rogan, and there's some amazing editing going on with that show, and I mean that in a great way. They're putting together some crazy clips that let you see how important that show is and how similar what they talked about, mm-hmm, were. And they are, mm-hmm, two ends of the spectrum. They're both talking about simulation. They're both talking about like AI and the dangers of AI. And it was really amazing to watch that they basically both said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about, it's like when you sit down, I always say this, like if you sat down a Klan guy and a gangbanger and you had them talk, they probably are coming from the same pain and suffering and how they see the world. Yes, racism bad, but so isn't gangbanging bad. And we could sit there and go, oh, you feel that you are, you have no power.
Right.
And you're doing whatever you can to survive.
Right.
And so there are similarities on both sides.
Yeah. I mean, what we're talking about here is a structured system that has been in place for several hundred years, and in the United States has been here for 100 years, which is the central bank.
Right.
And the policy, that's the fiscal policy that's getting set, right? And then there's the social policies that get set as a result that are in agreement with the fiscal policies. But what all of this means, for people who are looking for answers, you're going to have to do your own digging. I mean, Catherine Austin Fitz is a fantastic resource. She has videos documented over the last 8 years on YouTube. She's talked about the black budgets, what those programs actually mean for us, and we're talking trillions and trillions of dollars.
For sure, man.
You know, secret space programs. You can go down a rabbit hole there, but this is a woman who is a liberal, who worked under the Bush administration and voted for Trump. And she knows the danger that we're in, because all of this whole system that we're in, reason why you're seeing populism rising across the globe, everywhere, whether it's left wing, right wing, doesn't matter. It's all to overthrow.
Define populism for those who don't know, like myself.
Well, populism in this case would be that you're appealing to the masses. Exactly. You're speaking directly to the grievances of the masses, right? And you're talking about issues that are directly affecting them, as opposed to the what we need to do, the incrementalism, you know, how it can't be this way. And people are going, no, but my jobs, my money, my children, you know. So anybody who's speaking directly to that pain to address it is going to be listened to, versus a politician like Hillary Clinton. I'm just giving her as
no,
an example,
sure,
because that's the American
Which
version
is
of what
Trump did.
Right.
I'm going to bring your jobs back.
Right. He talked about all the bringing the jobs. He talked about the corruption. He talked about the corrupt system. I didn't listen to any of this during the primary or the campaign in general.
I didn't think he was going to win, right?
I didn't think he was going to win, yeah, it. And I don't even think that, like, I bought the media version of him which was the characterization based off of edits of speeches that he gave. And while there may be some truth to some of those claims, they completely skewed it in such a way that if you go back and look at the facts and look at what he said and then the look at how they presented it, it's like New York Times Pizzagate story versus what everybody actually uncovered online.
No, I'm with you. If you even take a look at the famous grab her by the pussy line.
Right.
The actual quote is, and I'm getting in fights with people right now, because I go, what is the actual quote? And no one will do it. The actual quote is, they'll even let you grab them by the pussy. Which is figuratively, okay?
Right.
And I'm not saying this guy's a moral man or that he isn't a pussy hound, okay?
Right.
But we had a pussy hound in Clinton, too, and nobody cared. It is the same as Amy Schumer telling people what a donkey punch is or a dirty pirate. It is literally the same thing.
But if that's the worst they think he has said, have they heard the stuff on Stern?
Oh, yeah.
It's fucking horrible. If you think that's really bad, and they won't give him the archives of it. They won't let him release them unless someone downloaded them, but there was no downloading in the day. You should just hear it.
It's so interesting. Like, why won't Howard give that? But if you even that, the running with that quote and the clipping of the quote and how it's said, and then you see who put it out, which is Matt Lauer, who has a rape desk, you know, and then you're like, oh, the whole thing is just fucking contrived bullshit and emotional. It is emotional. They use this emotion to frame Kavanaugh's hearing into not about what he's into, which is completely anti-constitution, anti-right to privacy, pro-wiretapping, pro-militarized police, pro-United States not following international law. What China did with the Interpol guy is basically what Kavanaugh's into, and that the government is above international law. Instead of talking about that, they talk about believe all victims and due process. That became the argument. And everybody fell into it. And no matter how much you cried about how bad what this guy really represents, nobody would believe you. Nobody would believe you. And I called out both of them. You know, Ford's family deep into the CIA. We've talked about this before.
Right.
But it's deep in the CIA. That shit was a fucking political flash mob. It was coordinated fucking theater.
Yeah. The protesters at the hearings prior to this, which didn't get a lot of people riled up, you know, they were showing how they paid those protesters to go get arrested during the confirmation hearings, which he sailed through. Okay. And that doesn't mean that he's an okay guy and everything, like exactly what you said. We're talking about a guy who helped draft the Patriot Act, who helped strip you of your rights of due process and the Fourth Amendment. And that the government could come in and surveil you and make an assumption about you, an enemy combatant. You just go down the list. I mean, it is basically setting you up for total, you know, a totalitarian government.
Eventually, we are 9/11, another 9/11 from full fascism.
Pretty much, yeah. Everybody should be concerned about this. Although I will say today that what we didn't have in 2001, what we do have today is the internet. As imperfect as it is and as censored as it is, it still has not stopped and abated since 2016's election. I see online today, I mean, people, this is how Ford online, all of her associations, the day she did her testimony, there were people digging into the records about that second door that she had added. Turned out they found out what the date was and what it was actually used for, and it had nothing to do with her PTSD. And the letter of her ex-boyfriend of 6 years got released out online about how he basically refuted all of her claims in her testimony and said that she had never brought up any of the.
The people who corroborated her story are her therapist and her husband. Neither of them were there.
Right. Right. And the therapist notes are different from her testimony. They changed actually 3 times. This is not about not believing somebody because we want the other person to be right. And that's the part that we have gone into this cult of self. It has more to do with what I think and feel about you and what I project onto you, not about asking you what you really think and what you really believe, but asking, what do I feel about you upon seeing you? Do I think, you know, Kavanaugh comes from a rich, wealthy background of privilege from Yale? Yeah. And you might get a little bit of that pompousness that we kind of see when he's, you know, defending himself in that testimony. But at the same time, it doesn't change the facts. And we have to start looking at facts and using logic and deductive reasoning to be able to determine what happened potentially and scrutinize it so that we could then look at why everything versus coming to a conclusion and then filling everything. I mean, we have people that are accusing this guy of being a sexual predator, that he was involved in gang rape trains.
Yeah.
And there's no substantiated other than accusations.
They call it the devil's triangle.
The devil's triangle.
Yeah, which he lied about, which he said was, what was it?
A drinking
quarters?
Game.
And it wasn't quarters. That is a dirty threesome where it's two guys and one chick.
Right.
That's what a devil's
devil's triangle. Yeah.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we sit there, we just look at what kind of cucks the DNC has come. They are literally bent over, taken in the butt, and it's just over. And it's like they knew all this stuff, but they want wiretapping. At the highest levels, the DNC wants wiretapping. The people who are funding them want wiretapping. They want militarized police. They want no right to privacy. They don't want they don't want any of that. So no. That's why they never call, because that's what they want.
Well, look at what John Brennan was caught doing in 2014, spying on Congress about the torture memos of the CIA. And do you think he stopped there? And what happened to him? He continued to serve.
Yeah.
So this whole idea that these people have your moral, like the moral authority or moral interest in mind for any of these, this is purely political. Now, they can say that to us and then we can agree with it, but that doesn't absolve them of their complicity in all of this.
Right, right.
And that's the part where I haven't gotten into it with Trump supporters, but I really talked to them because their base is growing, unfortunately, in the sense that whatever this guy does, in many ways, they're going to look the other way. It's kind of like Bush, the way we did with Obama.
And
it's
Obama.
It's the same thing. But here's the reality. If he is truly what they think he is, which is just not about him, but it's about Putin, it's about Xi and the others. They want to get rid of this post-World War II alignment with the Rothschilds and the central banks that came in and basically initiated these wars.
Oh, dude, we're going to get into all that.
Yeah, yeah.
When I investigated this and I went in because I like to have and I don't know how much you were able to look into it, dude, with those videos you sent me. I just came to the conclusion that everything that we think we know is a fucking lie.
Yeah, it is.
And the whole system is a lie. The two-party system is a lie. The notion that one side, the notion that, you know, I put out this tweet about how, like, she's a CIA asset and he's a civil rights monster. And I go, the best part of this tweet is how you will agree with what I said about the goon on the other side and you will push back with all your heart and soul about the angel on your side.
And you know, the thing, the sad part, and I looked at this as just from a broad stroke perspective, every single woman who has been abused and violated,
for sure,
injected that violator into the face of Kavanaugh. And it was personal because it was about your body and it was about your sexual body, your human body being violated. And that's the most personal thing that you can get to next to a child. If you look at Parkland, if you look at the Syria chemical bombing, false flags, if you look at the border situation about the, you know, the parents and children, all of those involve children. All of it deals with violence against children. And it got the largest and strongest emotional response out of people immediately because it has nothing to do with what the facts are. It's immediately going straight for your
emotional response. Throw up on it.
Yeah, and that's how you can see people who are just hearing everything and they're not weighing the evidence. They're not looking at the other prospect that all of this is a farce in front of us. So it contains everybody to fight amongst each other rather than to look upwards and look at the people who are manipulating them.
And the biggest problem with this whole thing is like every argument that you can have against Donald Trump is immediately you could be like, the Clintons did this and the Obamas did this.
Yes.
And it's just like, and that's why it falls so flat is that you're acting like evil started 2 years ago. And it literally is like every time it's like, you're like, okay, you're angry at this. And I respect that because it's a big deal. Where were you when your side was doing that? And that's the problem we have. You know, there is like 60,000 complaints filed against Obama for ICE at the border for how they treated children and illegals. And yeah. Then you look at who runs ICE. It's DARPA. No, who is it? DynCorp.
DynCorp yeah.
runs it. And they have a history, a convicted history of child sex and child trafficking. And yet nothing fucking happens. I want to get into the centralized banks.
Let's do that.
So let's get into this.
All right.
Now, the centralized banks, how would you describe what a centralized bank is? Let's start before we get into the reserve.
Well, it's interesting. I was thinking about this, and there was a driver, taxi driver years ago that I was in a car with, and he told me that. He said, what do you think the purpose of banks is? I said, well, to, you know, as me, I just go in and I want to get a loan. It helps me afford my life and you know, my lifestyle. And I'm making my payments. I need a place to store my money. I need a place to transact. He said, well, okay. He goes, where do you think banks got their name from? And I said, what? And he's like, no, where do you think that like originated, the theory behind it? And I said, I don't know. He said, well, you know, the banks of a river control the flow of that water.
Whoa.
And the direction. And money, you control the flow.
Wow.
And the direection of the money. Either his uncle or his father was head of the Hong Kong Bank. And I don't know how he became a taxi driver, but the information that he gave me, and he gave me his number after that, I just went home like with a new understanding about how all this works. So a central bank, first of all, we have to understand the kind of a little bit of the structure here, the financial structure, the pyramid. You have the IMF and you've got the World Bank, but above that is the BIS or Basel III. Okay.
The Basel III was
right.
The Basel III.
Banking of International Settlements.
Oh, okay.
And
dude.
So they're at the very top. I mean, there's people above that, but
like when you look at Russia, not to cut you off because it's really interesting.
Yeah.
Russia, I think it might be propaganda, celebrated kicking the Rothschilds out of Russia. But then you see they're still at that whatever that group is you just said. Mm-hmm. What's it called? The International Bank Settlement.
BIS, International Banking Bank Settlement.
So they're still a part of that, which started to make me think that the Rothschilds are evil, but they're also a boogeyman used kind of like the way we use, you know, Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda in a weird way.
Yeah. Well, there's more families involved than just them, and
right.
There's more interest. So there's also for your, I won't get into this today, but for your readers, there's this book on CIA's actual website called the Council. I think it's the Council of 300. You should read that.
Oh, that's, yeah, dude.
That's available in PDF form. You can download it and read it. It's very dense.
And you see some of the names on there. Do you know who's one of the names? And it shocked the shit out of me. Steve Ballmer. Do you know who that is?
No.
He's the owner of the LA Clippers.
Oh, shit.
He's the richest owner in pro sports. He's a giant part of Microsoft. Now, here's an interesting thing about Steve Ballmer is that he got basically, he was like roommates or down the hall from the guys who invented Microsoft. Now, if you think this is a really smart, rich guy, what a great way to get your business off fucking the ground than to bring in a rich kid who owns part of it.
Yep.
This
goes back hundreds of years. So there was the Bank of London, if I understand this correctly, that was formed in 1694. And the Rothschilds actually were not known as the Rothschilds back then. But about 100 years later, Nathan Rothschild, if I understand this correctly. He financed both sides of the Napoleon War and was ready for crisis because no matter what would happen as a result of that war, he would win and he would be able to take over the Bank of London. He would be able to possibly even get control of the reserve. So this has been.
But you know how that by once Napoleon loses,
right.
He runs back to London and tells everybody Napoleon won. They freak out, and this is a classic international banker move. We'll get into some of that. Is they all sell their bonds, And he comes in and buys them all at pennies on the dollar. Right. And now he owns the pound.
Yes. Every single thing that you see of war is always to consolidate power, not by the people who are fighting it, but for the people who come in with the opportunity.
Right.
I mean, you can look at financial crash 2008 and look at who benefited from that. Who got more powerful and richer? All of the banks, all of the multinational banks, Citi, JP Morgan, and actually with no liquidity, really. It was credit. It was fake money that was printed,
oh, yeah,
given to them by the central bank, which this is, we'll get into the structure of it a little bit later, but I when I started learning about all of this stuff and seeing how massive it was, it's like, how do you tell an American, or how do you tell somebody in London or in, you know, who's just like a regular Joe, that there's this big structure out there that is just raping the world of wealth,
yeah,
and plunging everyone into debt, and you have no voice, you have no say, because the government doesn't have any say. They have no oversight over these individuals. They can't make any rules or laws over them. And this has all been done by design. And then when you look at the central planning that comes out of there in terms of the fiscal policy, it's all designed so that war comes, it blows up nations, but it steals the wealth out of the countries that are fighting it, even on the winning side. So what you end up having is that everybody goes into further poverty. Everyone's dollar, this is the part that I didn't quite understand. The value of our dollar today from its original issue is worth less than 3 cents of its original value today. This is why we have the high costs. I mean, there's a lot of things related to that, but that's one of the key reasons. Why is that dollar worth so very little today than it was originally? And yet gold has maintained its same value throughout the whole time. So what we're getting towards and what we're building towards is a reset. And that's where we can talk about Trump, what he can do and what's available to him.
Okay, so I just want to get into a little history.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of this, and you know, you can speak on what you know. Mm-hmm. The centralized banks,
yep,
it basically, a big part of why we had, why we went to war with England was that they didn't want us issuing our own money.
Right.
They want us to use money through through the Bank of England.
Yep.
And that was the big fight. And the whole point of, you know, our founding fathers was, that is basically debt. We're getting ourselves in debt.
Yes.
They're giving us cash and they're giving us interest on that debt. And it's, here's the thing you got to know about this interest and this debt, is it's never meant to be able to be paid off. It's meant to compound. And actually, so you're struggling to pay the debt. They lend you money and now they're giving you debt on that money they just lent you.
So if we wouldn't have fought back, we would basically like Puerto Rico?
Yeah. In a weird way.
Poor shit. They don't really give a fuck about us, but we're part of them.
Well, no, I mean, like, dude,
that's all I see. If we wouldn't have fought back, we would have just been like a little, what do they call them?
A republic.
Colony or a republic.
Yeah.
Yeah, with no rights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure, dude. So it's just like, this is what they do. So a lot of people don't realize that, is that the, you know, our war for independence was, you know, a taxation without representation. They very much are very good at framing,
yes,
what it's really. Oh, it's not about fucking centralized bank. It's about taxation without representation. So that's what we run with, and all the books run it out. So there, you know, it's very interesting because when you talk Federal Reserve, everybody talks about how it started in 1913, but there were earlier editions, yes, of it under different names, which from 1781 to 1836, which were basically the Bank of the North United America, First, Second, Third Bank, Bank of the United States, mm-hmm, in which they were central. And they would always begin to go, people realize this is bullshit, and then they would stop it. And then, of course, the bankers would come in with money, cash, promise of power, and these politicians would flip, and then it would just keep going back around, and then they would come back. Now, there was actually a time in this country when there was an era called free banking era,
mm-hmm,
where basically the states had their own centralized bank, and the way it was spinned by the international bankers was that not all states recognized everybody else's money. So like your money could work in Michigan, but then you go to Florida and it wouldn't work in Florida.
Right.
Which is all a big propaganda bullshit to get this. We got to have a centralized bank. We got to have one bank that basically does everything. I don't know if you know this part, but we've talked about it on here, and this is my belief, that, you know, obviously the Civil War was very much about having a centralized bank, that the, you know, England and I believe Spain were going to come in on the side of the South if they agreed to have a centralized bank. You know, Lincoln was, in fact, issuing greenbacks. And have you ever heard the theory that Alexander II came in on the side of Lincoln? Because he had just dealt with serfdom and all that stuff, and he kicked out all those bankers.
I didn't know that.
And that that there was actually a very, that Lincoln and Alexander were very close. They had bonded over, like, their both their situations, and that when the threat of Britain and Spain were going to come in, that Russia said, if you come in, we'll send...
They did.
Yeah, and they sent... And nobody talks about
that. Talks about a blockade.
There's one fucking website that, and there's one website, and this other guy who I don't know why he won't come on the show. They're the only ones who ever talk about the fact that Russia came in. Now we can also go back with Russia and Kazakhstan, right?
Right.
And the old Khazarians that were like a lot of people think were like very much the dark arts people, and they are very much behind the whole international banking stuff. And we can, that's a whole different show, but that's where the a lot of the bumping was. You know, Russia going after Khazaria or whatever it was called, and then him making them pick another religion, all that, and that's where the fucking Russian scare, Red Scare, always happens. Then you have, you know, you have Lincoln doing this, and Lincoln gets assassinated by a Freemason, a level 33 Freemason. Booth is a Freemason. They kill him out. Next guy, I think his replacement even was anti-centralized bank. He dies of poison. The next guy comes in, boom, centralized bank.
That's a good assessment. The other part of it too is the creation of crisis in order to gain power. That's what these guys
for
do.
For sure.
Yeah, man. And just in the modern era, I guess in the last 100 years, because nobody remembers this, but J.P. Morgan was the one who was backed. He was the one that the Rothschilds picked and put as the richest man. He actually wasn't. He was just a figure.
Like Trump,
the richest
like
guy.
They just said he was so rich when he really wasn't.
Yeah.
Who's going to count his money?
Yeah, right. And if you did, you'd look at all the Rothschilds. They owned, I think, like 60 or 70, maybe even 80% of J.P. Morgan Chase. But these guys all conspired. It was the Rockefellers, J.P. Morgan Chase.
I have them all right here.
Yeah, there were like four or five of them. But they
went to the island.
Right, Jekyll Island. They even used...
You know, some other creepy shit was going on there,
Why would you name it Jekyll Island?
Right?
It sounds like, oh, here it is. It was the Rockefellers, the Morgans, the Warburgs, and the Rothschilds.
Yep.
Now, here's the whole thing. When you're talking about how, like, Morgan was propped up to be the richest man, that's the same thing with Jeff Bezos. I'm going to be honest with you. The real rich people aren't even on that
list.
Yeah,
they aren't.
Black nobility of Italy, who are old banking from the Roman era of the Roman Empire. Like, dude, that's wealth.
That's wealth.
And they even say they make the Rothschilds their, you know how the Rothschilds prop up Morgan? Well, maybe the black nobility pops up as the boogeyman, the Rothschilds. Because nobody even knows who the black nobility is unless you do really deep research into it. But go on, because he starts what is a series of false flags.
Right. To get false flag financial crisis. In fact, the first one that they did, they lied about the bank. I forgot which bank it was.
I don't even know if they mentioned the bank. I did some research. I think they said a bank. And I could be wrong here.
Right.
A bank
that was insolvent.
In New York.
That was insolvent, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
And so everybody did a run on it, and then it caused a panic, and they seized that opportunity to start getting their centralized bank here in the United States. But it really had nothing to do with the United States. It had nothing to do with the feds. It was so that they could have the control that they wanted, and they kicked off a series of these up until 1929, and that was the moment that they took full control. After that.
Is that after Jekyll Island, a secret
Yeah,
island?
No, the Jekyll Island thing was for the charter that Woodrow Wilson signed in, I think it was on Christmas Eve or 2 days before Christmas when nobody was paying attention. Nobody was in the Congress.
It was a day before Christmas. Yeah. Everybody was with their families. And I watched the video and I was like, these fucking little assholes.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
In the middle of the night, just took it and then implemented. And then they implemented the federal income tax right after that.
That's the I had an argument with this guy today.
Yeah.
That there's, and I don't know if it's true because I think people are like, I haven't paid taxes since 1999. I'm like, good luck with that, dude. But is there an actual law that says you have to pay taxes?
No, no. What they have done is they have used the IRS in order to go after you because you have no. They can garnish your wages. They can come after you. They can take. I've had this happen to me. There were some years that I didn't pay. I guess certain taxes on some money that I got from an inheritance that. They came after me every year, and every time that I had my deduction, they just seized it. I didn't get anything back. I couldn't pay them, and then they were just saying, "You owe this," and if you're not going to pay it, then they can take further action. They're not going to get other creditors involved or anything like that, but they could just take action against garnishing your wages. They can take any kind of dependence that you have.
It goes really bad. I got a couple homies that have baby mamas. They don't want to pay the money. They will take your license.
They'll take your license. They'll throw you in jail.
That means you can't make money. That means you still can't get paid cash. Yeah. Unless you get really lucky, you get paid cash in the place you can walk there.
And that's the threat is jail. It's like, and don't think they won't put you in the worst place to have the worst. They want to make an example of you so nobody follows.
Yeah, they're going to destroy you. They're not going to make you disappear. They're going to make your life miserable. And, you know, it's disgusting because... It'd be one thing if it was law and people weren't following it. But when you look at what their behavior is and what they do to impoverish nations, to throw us into wars, to basically indebt the entire country, and we're talking like 99% or more. I mean, I'm not giving sympathy to the people in the 1% or higher.
Right, right.
But at the same time, everybody is held hostage by the system and has to play along with it. That's the whole point of it. If everybody has to go along with it, then nobody can ever get free.
Yeah, like if you want to get like the solar panels, that's so hard. You got to get permits and all this fucking bullshit because they want to keep you on the grid. Like,
and
they
then
don't,
if you get solar panels, the rest of your neighborhood has to pick up the slack for the amount of money the power agency isn't making. So you probably get your ass beaten by your neighbors like, hey, dude, thank you, you fucking dick. But the Woodrow Wilson we talked earlier should be talked about in the same breath as a Benedict Arnold. I mean, what a traitor this guy is from basically doing the bill on Christmas, like he said, that created the Federal Reserve. And by the way, there's nothing federal about the Federal Reserve. The old joke, it's about as federal as FedEx. and then he also implemented the tax.
Yes.
And he started taxing his own fucking people. What is the point of being an American? I don't understand when they say that. And here, go. Do you have
no, I was just going to say, if you look at it today, look at what we were talking about. I pay my taxes. Well, yeah, 30% of it is stripped away from you, irregardless of your say. I mean, before you get your money. So you have no, like, and I understand the argument on the progressive and the liberal side, which is, well, we need these programs to help people. Yeah, but if you have a system that's enslaving everybody to debt, then all you're doing is redistributing someone else's money I understand the compassion of it. But if you're not looking up at these other people and what they're doing to create that, then essentially what everybody's doing is just eating each other.
Yeah.
And attacking each other through force of a system that enslaves you, keeps your money down, keeps your wages low, keeps all of that value of your wages. In fact, if you made $30,000 a year, but everything was a hell of a lot cheaper, guess what? Nobody would complain. Because the value of $30,000, what it, quote, meant 20 years ago and what it means today is worth less, not because everything's more expensive just by the fact of it. It's actually cheaper to make a lot of stuff today. And yet Nike can still get away with, putting a $130 pair of sneakers out there when they're making it for pennies on the dollar.
Right.
Which
is my whole theory on tariffs. Like, people are flipping out on Trump because they're like, you're a tariff boss. You're a tariff. Hey, dude, can I ask you something? Your sneakers, how much you pay for those? Be honest.
$100
$100 What's the most you would pay for those sneakers? Be honest. There's no right answer.
I was pushing it. Okay. I don't want to pay more than $100 for sneakers.
So let's say $100 is the most. There's a market value on those sneakers, right? And you're telling me if they tariff them, and those sneakers are now $130, are you buying those sneakers?
Yeah, probably.
You still would buy those tickets? Most people would be like, I'm not going to buy those fucking those sneakers. It's too expensive. The marketplace is set. So when the tariff comes, everyone's like, you're tariffing the American people. No. What you're doing is you're eating the profits of the people making the shoes.
Yes.
Right? So what that does is it makes it so when we're on Wall Street, which is a giant Ponzi scheme, that this company can't go, look at our profits compared to a company that's making shit in America. And then it evens it all out.
Mm-hmm.
The market is set. There are 10 cars that are made in America, and you can't tell me who they are because they're not insanely more expensive than cars that are just like it. It's meaning that company is getting less profits on that. And I don't know why people think the giant international corporation's profit share is more important than individual workers. Concerns. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, it's a complete bullshit. So let's get into the system of what the centralized bank is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something I learned very interesting. The game basically is they create money out of nowhere, right? That's what the Federal Reserve
issue loans to the government, which is debt. It's all debt. It's immediately debt because it doesn't come from anywhere. There's no tangible asset tied to it. So forget
the first dollar was debted, right? The first dollar.
Yeah, it's a fiat currency. It's legal tender. It's worthless.
But wasn't the original? It was backed by gold. Originally, you could actually see the old dollar said.
We had a gold standard, and we went off of that really fast because it wasn't going to make as much money for them as a debt based system would. So what we're talking about is they're issuing money to the government. With interest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they create the moment that let's put it down. Let me scale it down to you. If I give you a loan for $1,000,
yeah,
I'm creating debt. You have credit, but it's debt immediately created over here because it doesn't exist. So on top of it, I'm going to charge you on top of the loan. I'm going to charge you interest. So you're going to be paying money on the debt that you have, that you've already accumulated, and I have debt over here that what they're doing is they're going and collateralizing that debt so that they can gain more wealth.
Okay, so what you're saying, and I believe this is where you're going with, for every dollar they have, they can loan out $10, right?
Yeah, they can say that $1, is if I want to, that dollar that you have in your hand is worth $100. Not today. It's not worth $100 today, but it has the value tied to that dollar is tied as $100. So if you hold on to that dollar in 100, you know, 10 years, whatever, it's going to have that value in the future. It's total bullshit. And what they're doing also is they are taxing you to pay for the money that they're loaning out to the government and elsewhere in their black budgets and their wars.
Now, when we say banks, we're literally talking about the Federal Reserve because what we see happen is they set the system that localized banks do. They'll play this game, right? This localized, and they'll be like, oh, for every dollar you have, you can loan out this money. So they loan out all this money, and then they do something that I just thought, it's called marginal loans and a marginal call. And the marginal loan, the marginal call is where the freak shit all comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, and this is what they do, and they do it all the time, mm-hmm. is they call in their loans. They go to the banks. The high level, like the high-end guys, go to the lower level banks. We're calling in our loans, meaning, and you have 24 hours to pay that loan, and that's where the freak out fucking happens.
Yeah, well, if you want to look at what they did just through legislation, look at the Dodd-Frank bill, which everybody championed on the Democratic side. But in reality, what that thing did, 7,000 community banks and credit unions shuttered their doors since. And what that did is that these individuals, what they do is they hire these groups that are comprised of political operative think tanks, along with these lobbyists and these other former bankers, to basically water down the legislation in any which way that they can to their benefit and load it up elsewhere to everyone else's detriment.
It's unbelievable.
So under the guise of consumer protection, they have done exactly what they did before 2008. They're four times larger and greater in debt. They're all insolvent, by the way. This is all insolvent. All of this stuff, they're all completely insolvent. So what you're talking about is they are putting all of this debt into the system, and then they're taking it and they're bundling it by the quadrillions. It's like putting a massive weight on top of a pinhead and hoping that pinhead holds it up. Because if the pinhead goes down, just our debt alone goes down 10%, this whole thing behind it comes crashing down.
But do they not want it to crash? Because I feel like that's where they make a lot of – they consolidate power when it all crashes.
Well, yeah, that's by design. When it crashes and we get told it's a normal boom and bust cycle, these are cycles, they happen. It's not true.
It's not true at all.
It's true. We've just been with it. It's been with us for decades. That's why we can say it's true. But it has nothing to do with the regular, you know, like regular normal economic activity, with the velocity of money and workers' wages and the transaction, the fluid. The velocity of money is the number one thing that you learn in economics, which is about the money and in the which it moves through the economy, where you have workers who are earning wages and are spending it and they're investing it. When you don't have that, what you have to do is artificially pump that up through quantitative easing like they did over the last 10 years on an emergency fiscal basis, where they're injecting trillions of dollars into global economies, all for the banks, not to distribute down to you, but actually to take that money and create further debt so that they can get all of that money scooped back up into the central bank as its vehicle, yeah, and then distributed out to the other people that are at the very top of the pyramid.
But I did some research. It's the only country that's still on gold standards, Lebanon or something like that, or was. So doesn't that mean everybody is in debt in general?
Yeah, I mean, that is it. The IMF and the WBO lends money. In no way do they there's no way to pay it back.
Never.
To the point that some of these countries goes, fuck it, I'm not paying you anything, and that's when war comes.
That's how I feel it's going to happen with China. We're just going to be like, come on, we're not going to give you any
yeah,
money.
Yeah, but dude, it's darker with China because China is just playing a game with us, and they're going to call in their loans at one point.
Yeah.
And they're just setting it all up, man. And it's like India, China, you know? It's all these groups. It's just unbelievable. I want to get in two things before we wrap it up. We got about 8 minutes left. Real quick, they've said almost every war is a banker's war.
Yes.
Brought on by false flags all the way back. I'm sure.
World War One, World War Two, Vietnam, 9/11.
The ones right now.
Yeah.
They're all money based for sure.
Yeah.
It's just like in Vietnam. I just learned this. There were rules of engagement that made it so basically they were rules that said you couldn't chase the bad guy, you couldn't bomb them unless you knew it was active, and it was basically made to make the war never end.
Yeah. No, that we could have ended World War II 2 years earlier. That's known today. Vietnam, also the other thing is they couldn't, if they had a strategic strike that they wanted to do for the enemy, they had to call it up to the highest level of command for approval. In other words, you'd be in the battlefield and you're in the middle of a war.
And you got
to
wait.
And you got to wait to be called in, and you'd maybe given the order to stand down or move out. All of that being done to keep it all going. And, you know, we talked about, I think, a little bit last time about World War II and how the Rothschilds, J.P. Morgan, the Bushes were all financing both sides of it. Not like a little bit, not like, you know, like 10%, my 90% is on America. It's like evenly spread with the oil, I think that additive, that's been traced back to the bombing of London.
The Union Banking of Corporation of New York, U.S. Standard Oil Company, IG Farben. Bayer created all the gas that they used in the chambers. This is me speaking. Hitler, his connections to the Rothschilds was he's the bastard son. His father was the bastard son of Baron Rothschild. Why does he escape? Why does he end up dying in Argentina, which is the big theory out there? I really want to get into this before we leave.
Okay.
This has been a wonderful episode, as always, with you. The North American Union.
Oh,
is
yeah.
it real? Or because, like, on Wicca, and I don't believe all the wording on Wikipedia, but they say it's a theoretical economic and political continental union.
So this is the one that we're talking about that happened during the Bush years.
2005.
Right, 2005. So they, I didn't study this enough because I didn't even hear about it until recently. But Canada and Mexico, I think the idea was to create a new dollar, a new currency between all three countries, much like the way the euro is over in the UK.
Did you know that it's made in Germany?
Yeah.
All the euros made in Germany? Yeah, let's give it to them, right?
Yeah. Shit.
So for us, I'm sure that there have been other policies as a result of that in terms of our fiscal policy with Mexico and trade and everything else that we're trying to hopefully, if we're making good deals with them. The one thing I would say is the tell about Trump, if he's doing something right, is completely ignored by the media almost immediately.
So I want to get to that. The basic part of this is, do you believe Trump is going after the Federal Reserve?
If he doesn't, then we're all in deep
shit.
Yeah.
But when will that, we're entering the 2-year mark. This is when I bailed on Obama.
Right.
Like I believe personally the next 3 weeks up to November 2nd or 4th, whenever the midterms are,
yeah,
are the make and break of whether Trump has any white hat on him. Meaning that we have these next 3 months, that something has to happen. I'm not saying he has to take out the Federal Reserve in these next 3 months, but this fight for the midterms, which could change whether he can do anything after these 2 years, like the arrest that we want to see, someone do a perp walk. Like, I think something big has to happen these next 3 weeks, or else I'm like, okay, I'm going to take a step back.
Right. No, I think something either has to happen right during before the election or after. And I told my friend, ask me how things are at in February. Because at that point, everything's going to be known as far as what's moving forward, what's actually going to happen, both legislatively and as well as these arrests that they've been talking about, these mass arrests. The one thing that I will say is that what has been verified is the human trafficking and the seizure of assets and the Treasury Department going after those people with I forgot how many pages, but over 11,000 names of companies and doing business as were all published there earlier this year. So something is happening behind the scenes, because let me just say this, it's not just about Donald Trump and whether you like him or not. But it's more about, if we have a chance for a future, we have to get out of this system. There is no other way that we're going to survive staying in the system.
Think about, the system is only 100 years old. That means we had time when the system did not go.
Right.
So, and we survived. It's like free trade.
We were fine. Yeah. No, no, no.
When I say, hey, the 80s, we were doing what? I go, whatever economy we had in the 80s, I want that back.
Yeah.
Right?
You have to go with a weaker central government in order to do this, because they're just so calcified at this point. And the politicians are the theater, but that kind of gives you that calcification, or that immovable part is a representation of what's going on outside. It's a reflection of it. And that doesn't mean that I side with a guy, but I'm hoping, kind of like you, after the first 2 years, if something major doesn't happen and change, and we start moving forward and uniting the country and getting past all of this crap, then the country is going to implode. Because with another major economic crash and a restart of this same indebted system, you will see people doing things in this country that we've never seen before in the streets. You will see people going home to home looking for resources.
It will be Brazil. The favelas, or I think I pronounced it wrong, but the slums,
yeah,
where it's like everybody's got a gun, everybody's mugging everybody. It is going to be extremely rich people walk around with armed guards and extremely poor fighting for everything they have. And it doesn't need to be like that.
No, and it doesn't. And it's not because of Trump, but it's because of the system that either we will find out he serves or is trying to fix. He ran as an anti-globalist candidate. I mean, he said it many times, and he's mentioned it after his election. But his actions are really going to dictate that, not what his words say.
I'm just concerned he's very much, he has a big, I'm against any kind of neocon, neoliberal, right. Zionism, against all that. I get nervous. I hope against hope that he is playing a game and that he has to do all this fucking horrible bombing to keep the military industrial complex happy and not paying attention until he can get this other stuff going. That's hope against hope that I right. have. And we'll see, dude. I mean, like I said, until we get rid of the Federal Reserve and people go after fucking lobbying and stop these illegal wars, I can't really buy
everything else is theater in between that. We have to get that get a hold of that, because if we don't, it's not going to matter who's going to be president. It's not going to matter who you elect. I mean, if you want to just, you know, throw your hands up and say F this, I'm not going to be a part of it, fine. But what we will end up doing is the society will fracture to a level and degree that you will have people who are completely into this system, impoverished, in debt, living in the cities with high end, you know, like trying to get their incomes up to a livable level, and everybody else is going to go live off the grid. You're going to have, I mean, you will have the sanctuary, the cities, the tent cities you see today will start spreading out, in where people start going and breaking laws to form communities to get out of all of this because they don't want any part of it anymore. It doesn't serve anything other than your belief in the brand or the celebrity culture or whatever else makes you feel good for a moment while everything else is continuing to decline around you, including your environment. So we're a few moments away from it going into a really bad place. But if I were to listen to a couple of people, Catherine Austin Fitz, Lynette Zhang, and others, they're all about you buy gold, you buy silver now, keep some paper dollars on you. You know, don't sit here and load up on debt through your credit cards or anything else. Get yourself some actual tangible, movable assets. And you can even go in cryptocurrency, but these people do not own any stock in the stock market at all.
Okay. I mean, like, real quick, we'll end it. 1933, the gold seizure, 10 years in jail if you own gold.
No way, bro.
They confiscated all the gold. That was how they got all the gold out.
Because that's what they were saying. They said that you'd go to another bank and then you wouldn't get full gold. You'd get like 10% silver in it, and that's what made it seem like, hey, we need a. I didn't know that they took away the gold. Wow.
Yeah, I forgot about that executive order.
Get your gold.
Yes.
Okay, it's time for everybody's favorite part of the show. Let's see if he's actually listening and gives a shit. Let's see. What he thinks, everybody. Oh, hold on. Let's see. Hold on. I'm going to do this. Eventually, one day, I'll get this.
Aaron.
Don't be an idiot.
Hey, Aaron. Well, you better be sick, dead, or mute. Hey, Aaron. You done messed up, Aaron.
You filthy animal.
Aaron, thoughts.
And welcome.
Well, oh, you motherfucker. There we go.
Shouldn't play it in iTunes. Wow, that's a very bleak outlook for the future.
You're welcome.
Potentially.
You're welcome.
I just can't. I cannot see a way that Trump is good. I just can't.
Do you? Can you not? Or do you don't want to?
No, I can't. It's not that I don't want to. I would love to believe this was a new era and a great thing happening, but it's just not.
If he, are you disputing the child sex arrest? If that number's real, does that mean something to you?
It would be great.
Okay.
But it doesn't excuse everything else he does.
Okay, so he's saving the kids from being kidnapped, raped, and murdered. That doesn't get points with you?
That's a positive for law enforcement.
Okay, so we'll give him points on that.
That's a positive for...
Now, if he goes...
If Trump was busting down doors with his own boots, then yeah, sure. But he's not.
Well, when did Obama bust any doors in with boots on anything?
I'm not... I'm not arguing that he gets credit for anything either.
Okay, so you don't like it. Okay, he goes after the Federal Reserve and tries to get back at the gold standard, would you agree that that makes him a decent, I would say a great president. I'll give you a decent president.
I would have to wait to see that happen.
But if he did, let's say he did, in your mind.
Then I would be willing to bet there's something in it for him.
Okay.
Because that's who this guy is.
Unbelievable. Well, that was a great show. Always, you're welcome back anytime you got to come on to push anything. Or you just want to come by and chat. I'd love to have you on. Your wonderful conversation. XG, thank you for coming, being part of the show. It's fun. Guys, this has been Tinfoil Hat. Hope to see you at the live shows. Come support. Syracuse, come meet my mom. You'll love her. Guys, I'll see you guys soon. Take care, everybody.